But I guess the title of my message today is motherhood. But like I said, it's not just for mothers. One size does not fit all. Okay? And I am not going to get up here and talk about the Proverbs 31 woman because that wears me out. Like, she wears me out. Like, just reading that makes me tired. And I've said that before because, I mean, I know that's something we should all strive to be, but I'm not going to get up while it's still dark and everybody else is in the bed and start cooking. I'm just not, you know? Like, I'm tired, you know? And so, I mean, yes, that's a great thing, but it's just exhausting. So I'm coming today to give you guys some relief. I'm going to say that you don't have to be everything, that you don't have to be this mom over here that always posts on Facebook or Instagram all her organic snacks because she never feeds her kids hot dogs. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You know, that her kids are always, like, dressed in little mini, you know, like, Cosmo outfits with the little fur vest. And please, please. Her kids are always clean and their hair's always brushed and they're always in the bed by like 7:45 so she can spend a good 2 or 3 hours with her husband. Please, people, please. So anyway, so I guess this pertains a lot, what I'm going to say in the next few minutes pertains a lot to like the younger girls, because the younger moms or soon-to-be moms or want-to-be moms, like, we live in a day where we can see what everybody's doing all the time. But you know what? We see their highlights. You know, we see their good days. We see when their kids are smiling. And even if their kids are crying, it's cute. You know what I mean? It's not like your kid having a meltdown on the floor. You know, it's just different. We do not see pictures. I almost snapped a picture today of my sink and brought it. Because we do not see people's pictures of the dirty sinks. How many times have people posted pictures of the, anybody in here posted a picture of your dirty sink, your sink full of dirty dishes, and put it on Facebook for everybody to be jealous of? That's not what we do. We give people our good days, our highlights. And I don't post a lot on Facebook, but somebody I know posts a lot. And he'll post all this great stuff. And I had a lady message me a couple weeks ago, and she's like, because he tags me and stuff, it shows up on mine, so I don't need to post anything. And she messaged me, and it just said, like, I was looking at your Facebook, and you guys are so happy, and it's just everything's so good. And, oh, here's my picture. One size does not fit all. And I thought, girl, you have not even a clue, you know, like, And before I knew it, my little fingers were typing back in response to her message, like, yeah, but, you know, like, I've had a headache the last 4 out of 5 days and been struggling and in bed. We don't put that stuff on there, you know? Like, so that's what I'm trying to say is, I guess what I want to say is we're not all the same. One size does not fit all. How many have bought a shirt, a pair of pants, even a jacket that has that stinking label in it that says one size fits all? It may have even fit you, but look around this room. Do you think it would fit everybody in this room? Don't look too long, but anyway. That's the dumbest. Like, Luke's in here, so I can say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, one size is not going to fit all. Like, it's just, like, Candace, how many clothes do you have that you share with your dad? Yeah? Do you think you have, like, one size fit all that dad's like, hey, Candace, can I wear that rain jacket today because I'm going to ride my bike? And I'm like, no, it doesn't fit all. So we as moms, we don't have to be like that mom next to you or even our mom, you know? And that's something that I think in, like, today's society, we just all compare. And even before Facebook, I'm going to talk to you older, a little bit older than 20s and stuff. Even before Facebook, we compared. Right? Like, we compared. We just didn't have all the stuff to compare to, but we still had our personal interaction to compare. And I remember, and a lot of you probably have heard me say this, but I grew up in the same church from the time I was 2 till after I was married. I grew up in the same church with the same pastor's wife. So in my head, that's all I had, was that vision of her that's all I had. Yes, Missy's heard me say this before. It's all I had in my head is, as a pastor's wife, this is what it is. And let me tell you about Sue, my Miss Sue, our pastor's wife. She always wore heels about that big, like always. I hate heels. Like, this is it for me, guys. She always had a smile on her face, like seriously. And she always spoke in this really sweet voice that I can't even try to do. And she is just so sweet. I mean, when you see her, sweet is the word that comes to mind. Like, you know, and so when Jerry, always sweet, always, always, they just always. And I'm just kidding, Sue, in case she watches. But anyway, she's just a really, really sweet lady who happens to love heels. And when we came here to pastor, in my head, I had to be as much like Sue as possible. And guess what? I am not all that sweet, people. I mean, I'm not terrible and I'm not mean, but I'm not sweet like Sue. I'm just not. I'm bittersweet. I'm like those chocolate chips. I'm like semi-sweet. I mean, I have my sweet moments, but then I have several that are not. I hate heels, and I really can't make that voice. I can't make my voice sound that sweet. I just can't. So it caused me a lot of grief because I felt less than Sue, less than what I should be, less than what he needed, less than what the church needed as a pastor's wife. I struggled with that for so long, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and finally the Lord started like just letting me in on, I don't need you to be like her. I made you like you. And that's like, oh wow, that's sort of cool, you know, I can be me. And so that started giving me some freedom in that. So I became more confident in that. And I remember we had been here probably about 5 or so 6 years. A dear friend of ours passed away, and we went back for the funeral. We went back to Kentucky for the funeral, and Claire's standing right behind Sue in her heels. I turned around to her. No, I think she was right behind us. And I turned around to her and I said, "You have no idea the trouble you've caused me." Yikes. She said, "What?" You know, like, just what? And I'm like, and then I just unload on her. Like, you are so perfect that I thought I had to be like you, you know? And it was just sort of cleansing to get that out there. But I thank the Lord for letting me be me. Now, that I'm just going back to the mothers. You don't have to be that perfect Proverbs 31 woman. Yeah, let's attain to be as good as we can be, and let's attain to be all Christ wants us to be. But you don't have to get so discouraged, or you don't have to give up when things are less than perfect. I was thinking, like, last night, we've all, as mothers, had those funny / scary, actually at the time they weren't funny, they were really scary moments. And I thought about several, like the time that, I don't know, I must have had an easier time with Lindsay, but that second child, though, whew. Like, Lauren fell asleep behind a chair one time, and Jerry was out of town on business, and this is back when we lived in Kentucky, and he worked for Caterpillar, and he hardly ever had to go out of town, but of course it happened when he was out of town. And she fell asleep behind a chair, and I couldn't find her anywhere. Like, anywhere. His mom and dad came from next door. They couldn't find her. Like, she was just missing. Like, I remember, one thing I remember is Jerry's mom opening the dryer and looking in the dryer like, nope, not there, you know. And so I finally called 911. And I'm looking outside, like, we lived in this, like, a lot of acreage, and I was, like, wandering around in the dark, talking on my cordless phone. How many remember cordless phones? To 911, and they're like, well, what did she have on? I don't even know. I can't remember what my baby had on. Like, you know, I was just devastated. But finally, like, someone yelled out the window, and they had found her in a corner, I think in her room, behind a chair, sound asleep. So, Mom fail number one, I guess. Or that time, and we were talking about these last night, and the time we were in Lexington, Kentucky, in Toys R Us, and I had her in a cart, and I turned around for a split second and come turn back around, and she was not in the cart, like she was gone. So I'm like panic, like lock the doors, don't let anyone out of the store. It was Toys R Us. Somebody took my baby. Then we were in a big city. It was scary. She was too small to climb out. Jerry's brother had, who's very quiet, had just picked her up out of the cart and went to take her to see Elmo in the next aisle or two. Freaked me out. Or like that time that I had to call like poison control like three times within like a month or so. It was like a really short period of time, and Jerry's like, Tracy, they're going to flag us. There's going to be a big flag by our name. This is not going to be good. You got to. But it's like I give her some medicine, and then I forgot, and I gave her a medicine again and double dosed. And we were having a birthday party, and I printed off these cute little invitations, and they were laying on the bed, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, Lauren had licked all the ink off the invitations. I called poison control like one more time, like, I promise. I do watch my kids, but I just fell asleep. You know, it was just terrible. Well, I'm just saying all that to say this, is we don't have to be perfect. So far, my kids are intact and well and alive, and I quit calling poison control so much. But anyway, but I want to talk for just a few minutes, too, that there's certain things, like I said, one size does not fit all. In motherhood or in life, we don't all have to be like one another, but there are certain things in the Word of God that are for parents and are for us. And sometimes I think we fail to look at those things. We look more to blogs or books or somebody that seems to have it all together, and we look at what they have to say more than what the Word of God has to say. So just a few scriptures, but we all know that parents are commanded to train up their children. Like, we don't have our kids and just have to take care of them physically. Of course, we provide for them, we bathe them and clothe them and send them to school, but we're to train up our children. And if we're not doing that, we're failing our kids in the long run. Like, this morning, I was sitting in our bedroom, and the window was open, and I was sitting in a chair right by the window, and I hear kids playing outside, and it's like 9 o'clock, and I hear kids outside, and I'm like, those kids should be getting ready for church. You know, it's just, it breaks my heart, because people sometimes, we want to give them the very best, but we neglect the most important thing. And I've said that before, and it's heartbreaking. Sometimes we'll work overtime. We'll work two jobs. We'll pick up extra ways to make money just so they can have a cool pair of skates or shoes or whatever. But then on Sundays, we don't even think about taking them to learn about the Word of God. I mean, you're here, obviously, so you're doing well. Kudos for that. But I challenge you to continue that, to take the spiritual training of your children just as importantly as you take the physical needs of your children. Because in the end, it's the eternal things that matter, more than the shoes, more than the cute clothes, more than the bedroom that's all decorated. You know, we do a lot of that stuff for us, truth be told. But I challenge you to not neglect the most important thing, which is training your child up in the way of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So does that say you should talk about Jesus when you go to church on Sunday morning? That is not what that verse says. It says you're going to talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, which whatever way that is, you're just walking and you're talking, okay? talking about how Jesus makes those pretty little birds, if they're little, you know, talk to them. And when you lie down, when you're laying with them at night, just, isn't it so sweet when you lay with kids at night and they're just like, where their little minds are, you know, like the little things that they're thinking. It's at night, it seems like it all comes out, like the busyness of TVs and the world is not there, and they're just like talking, and you're talking to them. Talk to them about Jesus. And not when they're just 2 and 3, when they're 17, when they're still trying to crawl in the bed with you. And when you lie down and when you rise, it says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes, like they're right there. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Everything that you do, let it center around Jesus. Amen? Like, I know that Stephanie and Dan have little boys, like, you know, little boys. And Stephanie has, like, asked us before, like, what did you do to make your girls, like, I don't even remember how you worded it, but, you know, what did you do to make your girls love Jesus? Well, first of all, this verse. We love Jesus in front of them all the time. We don't love Jesus on Sunday morning only. Amen? We love Jesus all the time. We sit and talk about, first of all, we're not perfect, and we don't just sit around and read our Bible all the time, but we incorporate him in our house. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. Like, it's who you are. How many know being a Christian is who you are? One of the things that I said to Stephanie is, well, we've just always sort of included them in what we do. When we're doing ministry, we take them. We take them with us. They do ministry with us. We don't just get a babysitter and us go serve Jesus and let them play Legos. No, they can serve Jesus too. And just train them up. In Proverbs, and I know we've been reading Proverbs a lot, some of the women of the church, but Proverbs 1:8-9 says, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pennants for your neck. Like, these teachings that you're giving your children, they're priceless. They're priceless. Do you guys realize that? Do you realize, Lauren, that Lauren, when you sing, like, Jesus loves you, that's not just a song. You're putting that in him. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you're instructing them. You're training them up. This is, moms, this is your most solemn responsibility. This is more important than pleasing your boss. This is a solemn responsibility. Take it that way. And, of course, we all know Proverbs 22:6 is train up your child in the way he should go. And even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Mothers of you older kids, of the older kids, do not give up on your kids. Don't quit praying for your kids, because you guys have heard me say this before, but there's no one going to pray for your kid like you will. No one. No one. Okay, so we're also, as parents, we're commanded to discipline our children. Ooh, that's something nobody really wants to talk about, because like we talked about earlier, we want people to like us, right? We want people to like us. We want our kids to like us. But you know what? Kids don't know what they need to know yet, so it's up to us to instruct them. So in Proverbs, again, full of wisdom, Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It also talks in Proverbs about several things about disciplining your children, but this one is it's Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope, but do not set your heart on putting him to death. That's just what we were talking about earlier. If we don't discipline our children and teach them the ways of the Lord, we're putting them to spiritual death, honestly. So just keep that in the forefront of your mind, that it's that important. So as we talk there, as Christian mothers and fathers, we have very clear instructions. There is a whole list of things. And I could go on and on with just Bible verse after Bible verse. But you know what? That's what I challenge you to do as parents. I challenge you to spend less time on blogs, less time in parenting magazines, less time on Facebook looking at your perfect friends who are not perfect. Dig out some nuggets from the Word of God on parenting and what we're supposed to be imparting to our children and how we're supposed to be raising them. Going back to the one size does not fit all, 1 Corinthians talks in 12:4 talks about there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same gift is the same Spirit is the source of them all. We all have different strengths and weaknesses, right? Like I have one of my best friends. She's been a constant, faithful friend since I've lived here. And it's Nikki. She's not here today, but she didn't have a ride. But she has six kids, six boys, mind you. First of all, it's weird that we have been friends for so long, because honestly, like, we are not really, well, I mean, we're both really super funny and stuff, but we're not really that much alike. Like, you know, because she's a mom boy and I'm a girl mom. I mean, she's a boy mom and I'm a girl mom. And she has six kids, which I could never do. She does not even drive. And I have tried to teach her to drive. Yeah, that didn't go too well. But anyway, because I'm like, Nikki, you need to learn how to drive so when your husband comes home from work, you can leave. Because with six kids, I'm like, girl, you just need to get in a car and go somewhere. She has the patience of, like, there's not many people have patience like Nikki. We are not alike, but yet we sharpen each other. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what we're supposed to do, moms. We're not supposed to make other people feel less than. We're not supposed to make other people feel like, you know what, I've got my kids raised and I got it all figured out. Good luck. We are supposed to encourage and sharpen each other. I know a mom who is an awesome mother. She's an awesome young mom. You can just see it by the way she is around her kids, not just on Facebook, but in real life. And this young mom has confided in me that she is so afraid of being a bad mom to her kids. And I'm like, what? I would never, like, you're awesome. Like, I mean, you can just look at you and see how much you love your kids. But see, the thing is, she didn't have that relationship with her mom. And she is so afraid that she may one day become her mom that sometimes paralyzes her. But if I could just challenge her and speak into her life and say, you know what, when I look at you, I see nothing but love for those kids. You're like, you're not. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you're less than or that you're going to not be what you want so desperately to be. Because God has given you that love, and do not let Satan steal it. Do not let him rob your joy. And that's a lot of times, maybe it's not that extreme, but that's a lot of times what we do. We compare ourselves to Susie Homemaker or our neighbor next door who always has her kids dressed so cute, or just that perfect mom on Instagram that we may or may not even know. But we compare ourselves to them, and that robs our joy. That robs our joy. And I just challenge you, moms, not to do that. Do not. Don't. Refuse to let somebody else determine who you are. Because you know what? That song, I know that you are for me. He is for you. It doesn't matter. It may sting a little. It may not feel the best. But it doesn't matter if everybody in this building turns against you, as long as he is for you. Get that? Get that. Go buy that CD and listen to it every morning. Get it in your spirit. He is for us. He is for us. That's so exciting. Is that not exciting? That's exciting. I'm sitting here, this young mom that I've never even seen before. And I'm speaking life into you because God is for you. He's for you. Do you guys get that? That's so powerful. And you grandmothers and mothers of older kids, just because you've got your kids raised, your job is not done. Because I cannot tell you the wisdom that my grandmother spoke into me spiritually. The things that maybe my mom was too busy because she was holding down a full-time job and trying to keep up with my brother. Like that she maybe didn't have the time, but my grandmother imparted this stuff into me that is still with me. And I still, at almost 45 years old, think about all the time. Like she was like a powerful woman of God. She taught me about prayer, and she taught me about just asking the Lord's will. Not just praying things to be praying them, but asking the Lord's will and really seeking Him. Like, I would not take any amount of money for that time spent with my grandmother. So, Grandma, your job is not finished. It's not finished. We, like in Proverbs again, Proverbs 27:17 talks about iron sharpening iron, so one man sharpens another. That's exactly what we're to do. We're to encourage each other, not to discourage, not to make people feel less than. So if you tend to do that, stop it. Stop it. That's wrong. I have no idea where I'm at on my notes. Give me just a second. Because I think I've already said all this. But I just want to talk one more thing, maybe two. Talked about very lightly, but let's just remember to cover our kids in prayer. Okay? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we can spend 6 hours a day teaching them manners, but if we neglect to pray for them, we're failing. You know, they can call everybody ma'am and sir and thank you and please and wipe their snotty noses by themselves, but if we're not covering them in prayer, we're not doing enough. And that does not, for the record, have any age limit. Amen? The Word of God, I mean, it's like I said, it's full of things. But the Lord's, I want to talk one more thing really, really quickly, and then I'll be finished and you guys can get your real surprise. Talk about real quick about generational blessings, because we talked about we don't want to neglect the spiritual aspects of our children, because the Lord's blessings are generational, but it's up to us to do the teaching and the discipline and so forth. But in Psalm 145:4, it says, one generation shall commend your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. We're passing this down. We're passing this down to our children. In chapter 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, how many in here have been blessed by the Lord? How many in here want to pass that on to your kids? Because how selfish would that be if we took our blessing and stopped it? Ouch. In Genesis 22:18, and see, that's what I'm saying, like, all the way from the front of the book to the back of the book, it's full of stuff that you as a parent can dig out. Genesis 22:18 says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. We're teaching to obey. We're teaching them to obey. Sometimes it's not pleasant to obey. Sometimes we have to, as my daughter has found out in the last year or so, sometimes it hurts to obey. Sometimes we have to give up relationships to obey. But the most important thing is to obey, right? Proverbs 4:10-27 says, hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. That instruction that you're passing down to your kids, that's their life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Like, I know my kids have they roll their eyes at me sometimes, and they're like, we know. I'm like, I know you know, but I got to keep saying it because it's my job as a mother. And I go down through, like, we'll just be driving down the road. Like, no one ever says they want to be a drug addict when they grow up. It all starts with a compromise. I'm not going to tell my kids that one time. How many times have you heard that? So many. So many. But I have a brother who struggles with addiction. I don't want to see that for my family. I'm going to speak wisdom into them. I'm going to speak life into them. And I'm going to do it until their eyes roll back in their head and come back again and again and again. Or like Lauren will be looking on Instagram and I'll be like, who's that? She's like, why do you ask me who this is? You don't know them. I don't know. Who is it? I want to know. Just tell me. When I ask you a question, you tell me. One more verse and then we'll have prayer. But Luke 1:50 says, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Is that not awesome? How many of us have experienced mercy in this place? How many want to see your children experience mercy in this place? Amen. Don't be selfish. Don't hog the Lord's blessings for yourself. Pass it on. Amen. I just challenge all of us, myself included, I challenge us to spend more time getting the nuggets of truth from God's word instead of the world's. Not saying that some people don't have good blogs on how to get your kids to bed by 7:45, or I don't know, like oils to rub on their feet, or how to make cute little snacks out of all organic fruit, you know, okay. But don't get so caught up in that and carried away in that we neglect spending time in his word and proclaiming his promises over our children, regardless the age. Challenge everyone. So if we can just bow our heads, I'll say a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for today. And Lord, I just pray that you help us, Lord, no matter if we're moms or not even moms yet, but we know that that's in our future, or hope that that's one day what you have called us to be, or fathers or grandmothers or even aunts. Lord, help us to walk and be purposeful in our roles that you have given us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. Help us to be purposeful throughout the year, not just on days like Mother's Day and Father's Day. And Lord, help us to be purposeful on the good days and on the really, really hard days. Help us to stay in your word more than the words of the world's advice. And help us to take the responsibility of raising our kids spiritually just as important as we take the physical needs. Amen. And help us to teach our children your ways more than even our own ways. Your ways, Lord. Help us to give that instruction and hand down those blessings and the mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to pass that on to our kids by giving them wisdom and instruction from your word. And help us to trust you with their lives and for generations and generations, and for the blessings to be upon them and our children and our grandchildren. And we just pray, Lord, that we walk in your light and your wisdom, Lord. And we just thank you for the blessing of children, no matter what form they are in our life, whether it be our own children or spiritual children, grandchildren, whether our children are in our own roof, under our own roof, or whether they're not. Help us to be able to, the time we spend with them, to be time that we spend teaching them about you and encouraging them in you. And Lord, help us to not forget that you are for us. That you are for us, and we don't have to be like everyone else. We just have to be like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.